Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This hour on the programme, as we continue our coverage ahead of the House of Keys general election in September, we have the first of three election 2016 candidate interviews today. And we're joined in the studio by 53-year-old Julie Edge, who's the Liberal Vannin Party candidate for the now two-seat constituency of Onchan. Good afternoon, Julie, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu.
First of all, tell everybody who doesn't know you a little bit about yourself.
I was born and educated on the island. I've lived in Onchan for 43 years with my family. I'm currently employed at Ballacamina High School on the leadership team as the school bursar. I manage the, and I am fully accountable for the school budget and all the support staff within the school. I'm chartered manager and I've successfully managed the school budget without any overspend, which I'm quite proud of. Previously, I've been employed within the health service, banking sector, local government and the MEA, and I feel that my diverse skills would benefit me if I was to be elected within Onchan.
So financial control skills, clearly, from what you've said, and also people skills if you're involved in the HR side of things.
Yes, that's correct. I'm involved in all the recruitment process within my current role. Obviously, I'm still currently employed. I'm trying to work full-time whilst stand to be an MHK as well.
Yeah.
My qualifications, I did study at Henley for an MBA, and I found that the skills that I, you know, got through doing that course have put me where I am today.
Well, what has got you to where you are today? Why have you decided now to stand for politics? Is this your first foray into the world of politics?
It's my first foray into trying to become a politician. However, my whole of my working life, I've worked with the politicians on the island. Everything that I do within my daily work is decided by a politician, and I feel that that's given me the experience to, and it, from some of the things that have been happening over the last administration, I think that's what's given me the drive to try and move into politics rather than stay working within the government structure.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that, I mean, your job sounds as though it's fairly comprehensive. It probably takes up all your time. So, did you at any point think you might get involved in local politics, in local authority politics, or did you just not have time for that?
Obviously, my job does take up the majority of my time. That's where, you know, I need to focus. I enjoy working for the students of the island. And I do 10-hour days, you know, I'm not scared of hard work. I worked in Onchan Commissioners within the local authority, so I do understand all of the business of the local authority. However, when by-elections have come up or elections of that, I have considered it, but at the time it wasn't the right time for me.
But this time is, so I'm guessing that if you're successful on the 22nd of September, then you'll effectively do that full time, be a politician full time.
Yes, I will have to resign my position anyway because I am a civil servant, but I wouldn't go into this lightly. I want to be able to give my full, you know, my time and effort to the people of the Isle of Man, because I think that's what they deserve, you know.
Okay, and you're standing as a Lib Van candidate. Why did you decide to sort of stick with a party? Because, you know, we've got a parliament which is effectively predicated on people being independents. Party politics has never really seems to have taken off much. We've got the Manx Labour Party, we've got Lib Van, but what made you decide to become a Lib Van member?
I've never able to be politically active with a party. But I have followed with interest the Lib Van. I believe, and going around the constituents, the majority of constituents like the policies of Lib Van that I've come across in Onchan. And I just believe that there is an opening for party politics in the island.
Okay. Is this something to do with the halo effect of Peter Caron? Because, you know, he's been one of the highest polling MHKs for years, hasn't he? And obviously he's deeply involved in the Lib Van party. Mm-hmm. So, and he's Onchan as well, or he was Onchan as well. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe why you've joined the Lib Van party?
No, I've joined the Lib Van party because I genuinely believe that their policies are the right ones for the island to take it forward. I know Peter, and going around canvassing, the amount of people that are disappointed that he has retired.
Yeah.
I completely understand why he has and some of the frustrations. And what I don't want the people of Onchan to think is that I will be going in and then not given the, you know, my political daily life to the people of the island and Onchan.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'm trustworthy, I'm hardworking, and I want to be in it to do the best for the people of the island.
So you've already been out knocking on doors and talking to people, I'm guessing.
Yes.
What are the big things that people tell you on the doorstep?
The main concerns for the people on the doorstep is the promenade, the horse trams, castle owners come up, and the frivolous spending. Everybody's saying, what is going on? Where's the money gone? Gas has come up a few times as well. I think the one thing that's getting highlighted to me is that people aren't aware of what actually is happening out there. And that's what I want to bring to it. I want to be that person that people can approach. I'm approachable. I'm a mum. I've got my granddaughter, and I want to be out there for the people. I want to be visible.
But what is happening out there that you're not happy with, or that people are not happy with?
I think everybody's seeing their costs going up. They've got less money at the end of the day. I think there's a general unease throughout the workforce. The pensions, I think, has caused a lot of the crisis with recruitment, because there's so much uncertainty.
Excuse me, I do apologise.
Okay, there's so much uncertainty about the pensions. I think that's, a lot of people have reached retirement age because they reduced the age to 55 and they've chosen to leave the service.
All right. What about the public sector pensions? I think you're talking there about the state pensions, aren't you?
No, that's public sector.
So where do you stand on that? Because a lot of people tell me that that's one of the biggest issues facing the next administration is how to deal with that crisis. What do you think should be done about that?
Well, I'm aware that, the unions have been working to come up with a solution. I think the majority of the workforce know there's got to be some sort of change within the system. I have spoken to financial representatives, and I am amazed that, new starters should be on a new scheme straight away, and I think that should come in as quick as possible. A money purchase scheme is one that's been suggested by a number of financiers, and I think that's something that should be looked
into. But isn't that unfair to new starters? You know, because what you're saying there is that the people who've been in this scheme for ages are protected, but new recruits are really not.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily saying protect everybody that's currently in the scheme. I think we need to honour and honour the scheme for the people of, for some people that are really ready to retire within the next 5 years, and I think we've got to honour some parts of the scheme. I think new recruits coming in have got 40 years of working life ahead of them, so they have an opportunity to look into their pension and look after what they want for the future.
You talk about frivolous spending. Where do you suggest is money being spent frivolously?
I think there's been numerous reports in the media with regards to, the TT World Series. That was 335k to look at that, and nothing came to it. They're just unobtainable fancy schemes. The diesel locomotive that everybody's talking about, 400k sitting in a shed and not getting used. The Jacksons, recently it's been reported, £100,000 loss. The Slock probably is the one that everybody's saying nearly 500,000, and a minister stating, well, I had money to spend and it was presented to me as a good idea.
You say that there's public concern over transparency. In which areas do you think people are concerned?
I think transparency needs to start at the top. One of the things which I would like to see brought in, if I'm successful, I would like to see it for the next election. It's obviously not there this time. I think transparency starts with candidates, and I think their manifestos should state if they're with any directorships or they're attached to any societies. I think that's the start of transparency. I also feel that, for capital schemes, when I've listened to Tim Wald and people say, well, that's commercially sensitive information and we can't disclose it. As an MHK, how can you stand up and vote for something within the House if you haven't got the full facts. And, you know, to make a good decision on anything, you have to have the full facts.
But aren't the MHKs aware of the facts? It's just that it doesn't want to be minuted by Timwald for public consumption if it's commercially sensitive.
I've spoken to MHKs and they don't have the full financial breakdowns, and I think that's what the public want to see. If you want to work for the Isle of Man government doing contracts, you need to be prepared for that to be in the public domain.
Yeah.
And transparency, a lot of our capital projects, you know, they're put forward and there's a price put on them. I'm not so sure how many actually come in on the value that was put out into the public, and do the public ever find out the true costs?
Well, I think a lot of tender documents probably say in them that the tenderer isn't necessarily bound to the lowest, or the company or the government isn't bound to the lowest quote, because, you know, there is value and there is cost, isn't there? And the two are sometimes different. So, you know, in terms of commercial sensitivity, if you were a supplier to government, would you necessarily want your tender price to be known by everybody? Because couldn't it be used against you?
I think there's a way of presenting that information to people without them actually identifying what their unit costs are for any particular item within the tender process. I think there needs to, you know, I really do think it needs looking at. I think one of the biggest spends within government is our capital projects, and I'm not seeing many capital projects coming within.
tell me what you think about the promenade then. You say that that's something that people have been talking to you about. Yeah. What do you think should be done there?
The majority of views from going around while I'm doing my canvassing is that it should be resurfaced. It's causing damage to people's cars. It's, you know, people are stepping off the boat, driving along the promenade, and it's just not a very nice sight. I think that we need to go for a quick, you know, resurface of the promenade, not a £21 million scheme. I've spoken to contractors about the granite scheme, and all that would do would be increase the costs, because there's so many services underneath the promenade. If it was done with granite and then there was any issues with any of them services, the cost to actually get to the core of the problem, which is underneath, you know, your layer of concrete, then your granite structure,
is just not viable for the Isle of Man. Just a tar and chip, which is what the government does with a lot of roads, isn't it? Is to just lay a layer of tar and then put loose chippings on the top. Is that the sort of thing that you think might work?
I think we need to look at it aesthetically, and I think it's such a busy route, it needs to be not necessarily the cheapest option, but an option that's not going to cost us £21 million. I don't currently know the state of the economy.
Department says that underneath the surface needs doing. It's not just a case of being able to resurface it, that the foundations and the infrastructure and all the pipes and things underneath need to be redone as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why, all right, it's not a £21 million scheme, but it's a multi-million pound scheme to do the job properly. Are you saying, well, let's just have a go and see if we can aesthetically dress it up for a while and see how we get on?
I think, obviously, the government know what the situation is with the actual structure. If the structure needs seeing to first, there's no point wasting, which could be a couple of million pounds, if something needs doing with the structure. But the structure can be repaired without doing a full scheme.
Right.
So, it you know, without seeing that, I can't really comment.
OK. I mean, I'm guessing that there have been all sorts of surveys and ultrasonic tests and things to find voids underneath it. I'm not an expert or a civil engineer, but the experts seem to say that that's what's needed. So maybe it's not quite so simple as to just resurface it, is what I'm suggesting. You'd be all right with that if that's the case?
No, I'd like to look at it closer.
OK.
I think... the people of the Isle of Man are fed up of seeing our money being wasted on consultants.
All right.
And, you know, you've just described there that, you know, engineers, consultants have looked at it.
Yeah.
But what was their, you know,
what was their scope?
What were they scoped with to do? Was it to do a full solution, or was it to just look at a repair that would last us for the next 10, 15 years?
All right. You say that you've got the knowledge, the expertise and the diplomacy to make a difference. Sometimes though, being diplomatic gets you nowhere. So would you be happy making tough decisions if they're right for the Isle of Man?
I would. I make tough decisions every day in my current employment. They're not, you know, you're not always liked for doing that. I'm not in it to be popular. I'm in it to do the right thing with the taxpayers' money for the Isle of Man. I see it as, if I am successful, I see it as my career going forward, and I would give it 100%.
Yeah. What do you see the job as being? Do you see it as being a national politician, or do you see yourself as being a representative of the people of Onchan?
I see it as a national politician with the best interests of the people of the island and the people in Onchan.
Okay. So the people of Onchan kind of come third in that? Which
No, not at all. The people of Onchan, we have our local commissioners, and I believe that, you know, I'm not there to step on their toes. I'm there to support and bring through a national strategy that works for everybody on the island and the people of Onchan. I think there's some good work done in Onchan. The commissioners, you know, they do look after their house in Stockwell. However, I'll come on to that in a second because I have met some of the constituents. I feel that the people of Onchan have elected the people for the commissioners. They have their local government to look after. From being an MHK, you have to look after the national issues, but I would be there and available for the constituents of Onchan.
Our MHKs are very available to us, I think, aren't they? Probably more so than an MP would be available to people in the UK, for example. Is it that they're too reachable? Do you think that maybe local authorities ought to do more in terms of local constituency issues?
Speaking to some of the constituents as I've been going around that are in the local housing, I've been met with some doors that have been closed quite rapidly because nothing's ever been done. There's other people saying they try to get things done and they don't. So that does indicate to me that perhaps the locally elected commissioners need to be out there doing more. One of the things with being involved with the Lib Van party is is, you know, we do have monthly meetings. Any of the constituents of Onchan are welcome to come to these meetings and put their views forward. And that's a publicly accessible meeting once a month.
A lot of people listening to this will be saying, but we've heard all this before. We only ever hear from politicians when they want our vote. And then if they're elected, they'll spend 5 years doing whatever they want to do, pretty much. And they'll not reply to our emails or our phone calls or whatever. So why should we even bother? And isn't this maybe why people are put off by politics?
I think they are. And again, meeting people, that's exactly what they're saying. They can't get a response. I spoke to a gentleman earlier in the week, and it's disappointing to hear what the public are saying, and that is the public perception. But what I will say, I have always, if I say to somebody I will get back to you, I always do, and I will make sure that I do that. I'm not going to promise to the people of the Isle of Man that I am, you know, put a manifesto out that I'll do this, I'll do that, because a lot of the ones I'm seeing are promising £1 million schemes and £1 million ideas. Until I can get myself elected and in and look at the state of the economy, which, you know, we've been told there's been 30 years of economic growth. And then, on the other hand, we're getting told that there's no money left. So I don't want to promise the world until I see the true state of the economy.
So if we've had these 25 years of economic growth, if we've had the good times, the days of milk and honey that people tell us about, nobody ever told us about it at the time so that we could enjoy it, I'm afraid, where do you think the money went?
I think it's gone on schemes. The social survey study that's just come out, you know, it stated about the government, and they don't, I think it was 78%, they said they didn't feel that the government had a strategy to go forward. Looking at it, you know, the pink book, I did actually have a look online to see if I could get some of the past ones. Yes, there has been a plan, but it seems that they've not looked beyond 5 years. There's never seemed to be a strategic plan to take the island forward 20, 25 years.
So you think that maybe infrastructure and capital spending, do you not think it could be the fact that we've got a hugely bloated public sector where we've got far too many employed by government for an island of 85,000 people or 80,000 people?
I think within the public sector, there is a lot of hard-working, well-qualified people. There is areas where there needs to be change, and I think everybody's aware of that, but I think we do need to protect our frontline staff. I think there's a lot of, with the scope of government report, I feel, and my constituents are telling me, there's increased bureaucracy. Now, do we need all these layers? I think we need a complete structural review of government and each department structure.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, you also say that previous governments have failed to deal with the structural problems within government, so not just the public sector, but government. What do you perceive those to be, and what sort of changes would you make?
When I first came into government, I was extremely proud to work for the Isle of Man government. There was such a stringent process to become an employee of the Isle of Man government. I feel that that has reduced drastically. In fact, I know it has. I know what I had to go through. My first interview at Nobles Hospital was in front of the whole board of the hospital. You know, 16 years of age, sitting at the end of a table with...
Like a court martial.
Yeah.
Last summer.
And it didn't do me any harm. It made me more resilient.
Yeah.
But it also made me proud. And I think that it's not stringent enough. I think we employed CEOs that knew their trade and knew their industry, but they also knew the government processes. And I think that we're using consultants because perhaps we're not doing the recruitment process as rigidly as we could.
Okay. You say that politicians are out of touch. How would you stay in touch? I mean, are you a devotee of social media, or would you do a website, or how do you think you could improve staying in touch with constituents?
I think public meetings where the public can drop in and speak to you on a regular basis. I'm not a great lover of social media because I've seen the other side and what damage it can do to people, you know, especially to young people. And, you know, that if that happens early in people's lives, it can lead to all sorts of situations. However, I'm aware that a lot of the young, that is their way they communicate. We have a digital strategy in government. However, I've found it really difficult to get information during this process.
All right, you accept that achieving change isn't going to be easy. How much do you think you can influence that if you're elected? Do you think you can actually make much of a difference, or are you going to be one of 24 people, many of them new in the job, kind of learning the ropes and seeing what you can and can't do?
I think what I can offer is my expertise within the government system. I won't be having to learn policies or you can do this, you can't do that. I've been in the service for 38 years in various roles. I know the policies inside out. I think new people coming in to learn the knowledge that I've gained in them 38 years, I don't need to start with.
Yeah.
They are having to start from that. And I know, I would say that it's only in the last 10 years of my career that I've had the confidence that I'm fully familiar with the majority of policies to be able to be successful.
I mean, even simple things like protocols and the way that you address people in the House of Keys and, you know, all that kind of stuff, there's got to be some sort of a learning curve there. So I worry sometimes talking to candidates that everybody's full of all these great ideas, can't wait to get in there and change the island for the better. Mm. Is that a realistic aspiration, do you think?
I think it's realistic. I agree it's going to be a learning curve to go into, you know, to go into the process. However, the leader of my party and the only lady within the House at present, you know, I would be looking to people like that for their expertise and knowledge to guide me through.
Is that part of your reason for standing? Do you want to increase the number of women standing for politics?
I don't believe it should be on gender. I think it should be on your ability. I think it would be, you know, a number of people are saying it'd be great to see more women within the House of Keys. I think women do look at things slightly differently,
okay.
Especially housewives. but I don't think that should be why people elect you.
All right. We're pretty much out of time, but tell the people of Oncombe why they should vote for Julie Edge.
I feel they'll be getting a trustworthy, honest person that will do their best for the island And I want to see it prosper for the future of all the children of the Isle of Man and for the residents of Onchan.
All right, Liberal Vanning Party candidate for Onchan, Julie Edge, thanks for joining us today.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.